We are continuing today the lessons that we have begun quite a number of weeks ago regarding the power of God's Word, and we are continuing hoping that we might go forth and be able to give the lessons that we may learn more from the Scriptures regarding these matters that God has given us. And we began looking at these lessons, as I said, that we might encourage one another to be reminded that the Word of God is the greatest power that God has given on the earth. And we began these lessons by starting out that the living and active Word is God's greatest power in the world. And then we went forward to understand that the Word of God displays the power and wisdom of God, that God's power and wisdom are greater than man, who sees them as the foolishness and weakness of God, but they are actually God's wisdom and power. God always carries out His purpose in spite of all evil that men may do. God will always continue to carry out His purpose, and we can be thankful even under these times with this coronavirus restrictions worldwide that God is with us and that God will bring about His purpose at His time according to His will. And with that, we pray to Him and keep trying to live by faith and encourage one another as we go through this life. We looked at God's Word as the power to save us, that is, by grace through obedient faith by the blood of Jesus Christ from our sins, power to transform us, that is, to change us over time by learning and applying His Word to His honor and glory to become more like Jesus, the power to overcome our habitual sins with God's help and with the help of other faithful Christians, that we might face those things and turn away from them and be changed by the Word of God over time and become a better character by His Word. Power to answer our prayers, parts 1 and 2, as we studied last week. And then now, power to raise us to eternal life. But regarding prayer, we looked at some examples of how God answers our prayers. And in our lesson last week, how God answers our prayers, He graciously answers us according to His revealed Word. That is, He has given promises within His Word, and then we can be assured that He will answer according to those things that He has given. Then we can be assured that He will answer and provide what is best and provide exactly as He says what He will do. In other cases, God graciously allows our request but does not change His mind. And so, like in the case of David, David prayed that his child would live, the first child of he and Bathsheba, the adulterous relationship. But God said the child would die. In that case, the child did, but David still believed in a gracious, loving God even before and after he prayed regarding his child. Then God graciously allows our request and changes his mind, such as the case of Hezekiah the king, who God said, "You're going to die, set your house in order." Hezekiah said, "Please remember my righteousness, Lord," and prayed with tears. And God said, "I remember you, and I will add 15 years to your life. You shall not die." God changed his mind regarding Hezekiah, and he does in our case at times. God graciously allows our requests but answers us in his own way, such as in the case of Habakkuk and in the case of Paul. Habakkuk prayed and, "What are you going to do about the evil in this nation of Israel, your people?" And God said, "I'm going to send the Chaldeans to destroy Judah because of their evil, and then eventually I will punish the Chaldeans. Not what anyone would want, but Habakkuk says, I will trust God. I will live by faith as God instructed him to do. The righteous shall live by faith. And whatever comes, I will trust God that he knows what he's doing. The Apostle Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh might be removed from him, but God said, even after three times Paul requested that I'm not going to remove it, but my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm going to give you power to carry out my will in spite of all the difficulties that you have to face in life, so that you may not be exalted because of all the revelation and privilege that I am granting to you for my purpose. And so Paul said that he learned to live with weakness, that the power of God might be displayed and that God might be glorified in his life. And so therefore God answers in his own way, in his own time. Now we turn for the next four Sundays, including today, the Lord willing, that regarding the power of God to raise us to eternal life. The power of God to raise us to eternal life. Much interest and confusion is displayed concerning the teaching of last things. That is, regarding the coming of Jesus, the resurrection, the judgment of humanity, heaven and hell. Much false teaching in regard to those things. But certainly God's great power through his word will be displayed on the last day and continue into eternity where time never ends. So we think right now that the virus has great power. And indeed, in some cases and in many cases, it does. And we think governments have great power to restrict humanity, even forbidding worship. And for now, they do. Even to fight against other nations at times and topple other nations. But when we think about God's word having power, no government on earth has the power to forgive sins and the power to raise us to eternal life. It is God's word only that has such absolute great power, even above all human wisdom and all human power. And we can be assured when God's power is displayed, when God's power is displayed, that all of us are going to understand, and we should understand even now, that no amount of human power can overcome divine power at all, and that God is greater than anything that humanity can do, regardless of what it is. We seek to learn about these last things to increase our faith, holiness, and readiness for the resurrection and glory that is to come to those who are saved by his grace, that is, through obedient faith. We know our minds are worried and burdened by the things in this present situation that have taken an effect physically and mentally, and in some cases spiritually, upon many of us. But we realize that this is not the end of God's purpose, that God's purpose is working now even in the midst of these things and will not be overcome in spite of man's effort to destroy humanity, that is, our ability to worship. But God's purpose is carried on and will definitely continue with the one day the coming of Jesus, it may be today, and the resurrection and the judgment of humanity, the resurrection of all from the dead, and the decisions regarding the day of judgment and our eternal destiny, either hell or heaven. All of these things cannot be stopped. All of them will come about by the power of God's word in that last day. We also seek to be hopeful in this life, no matter what may come, knowing that in the future there is eternal glory awaiting those who are in Christ. And so we seek to follow the gospel. We seek for eternal glory, not glory upon the earth. And we realize that we are looking to eternity, not to our momentary situations. Even in our deepest trials, we look to be with God for eternity. And that is our great hope. And Jesus has gone before us and has opened the way to heaven and is waiting for us and will come again to bring those who are serving him to himself one day, that we might be in glory forever. That is beautiful. And not human glory, but divine glory, which is above all. Jesus foretells his death, resurrection, and ascension to his Father in heaven. In Matthew 20 and verse 17, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day he will be raised up." That is, it looks like God's purpose will be defeated in the crucifixion of Jesus. "But God will raise me up," Jesus said. The night before Jesus died, as they were sitting at the Passover that Jesus had prepared for them, the night Jesus died, Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." And then in Matthew 26 and verse 32, "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." That is, he said that I'm going to die for the sins of the world, but after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. God's purpose is not going to be defeated, no matter how evil man is. If Satan cannot defeat God, then those who follow Satan can never defeat God. And that's something that we need to have in our minds. I need to have in my mind. If Satan cannot defeat God, the followers of Satan can never defeat God. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 21, "Then he said again to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews were saying, "Surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come." That is, he was telling them he was going back to his Father and they could not come there. After he would be resurrected, he would ascend to his Father. And he was saying to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Jesus is saying, because of your attitude toward God and your rebellion against him, you have no hope of being raised from the dead. That is what he is telling them. "But if you believe in me, then you can have hope of the resurrection, because that has been given to Jesus to raise all humanity from the dead on the last day." John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Truly, truly," Jesus said, "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That is, Jesus said, I will raise them from the dead by the authority given to me by the Father. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. That is, he has the power to raise the dead. Verse 28 of John 5. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. That is, he's going to set everything right. Those who are righteous will receive eternal life after being raised from the dead, their bodies being transformed. Those who did evil will receive eternal condemnation and torment after the resurrection. And so God will set everything right, and he has the power to do it. Jesus confirms his power to raise the dead by raising Lazarus from the dead. That is, on the earth, Jesus performed the miracle regarding Lazarus, that he raised him from the dead, the one who had been dead for 4 days, the friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha in Bethany. And Jesus raised him from the dead, proving that he has power over death and that he himself would be raised by the Father. John chapter 11 and verse 21. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. That is, your brother is going to be raised again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So Martha has faith. Yes, Lord, I know that one day on that last day, the very last day of time, that my brother will rise again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That is, do you believe that life is in me and those who are in me will continue to live even after death and will be raised? Verse 27, Jesus said, verse 27, she said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And then, just a little bit later, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, bringing him out of the tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. John 11:41. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That is, Jesus praying to the Father. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That is, come out of the tomb. The man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Jesus confirms the power to raise the dead by raising Lazarus from the dead, and he raised a few others from the dead as well while he was on the earth. And so, he goes on, verse 46 of John 11, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. And then, of course, it was the Pharisees who would desire to kill Jesus, even though he was the Messiah and he had the power to raise the dead. They went forth with their evil plot to kill Jesus, which God used to save humanity through the sacrifice of Christ. God raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, that glorious day, 2,000 years ago or so, the third day after Jesus had been crucified, he came out of the tomb by the power of God, raised from the dead, and eventually, after a few weeks, he would go back to his heavenly Father, where he is reigning now and has been reigning over heaven and earth until he comes again. John 20 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. That is, she is perplexed. Where is the body of Jesus? It's gone. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered. And he said, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now they believed Jesus' body was not there, but they didn't understand until Jesus actually appeared to them. Later on that day, they did not understand that he had been raised from the dead. In John chapter 20 and verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. That is, when he came upon the first day of the week and appeared to them, Thomas was not with them. But this is some 8 days later, and Thomas now is going to see Jesus. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas wanted proof also that Jesus was raised from the dead. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. That is, who have faith based upon testimony of the eyewitnesses. They didn't see me directly, but they still believe because of the evidence that will be given to them. John 20 and verse 30. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That is, John says that he wrote so that others like us today, who read the testimony of the miracles that Jesus performed, including Jesus being raised from the dead, might believe that he is the Son of God, and that believing and obeying the gospel might have eternal life. And that is beautiful. After 40 days, Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven, where he has been ruling over heaven and earth at the right hand of God, where he is ruling even today. Acts 1 and verse 3, to these, to the apostles, he also presented himself, alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then verse 9, and after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud receiving him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken away, has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. That is beautiful. He will come in just the same way he has gone into heaven. As you have watched him go, so he shall come again. We don't know the day, but we eagerly wait that day, whether it's today or whatever day it may be. We wait for that day when the Lord comes again to bring his own into eternal glory. Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. That's what we looked at today. That Jesus has foretold his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, and that all of this has taken place. And that's where Jesus is now. Jesus foretells the Father would give him power to resurrect all people. Jesus confirms his power to raise the dead by raising Lazarus. God raised Jesus from the dead. And after 40 days, Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven. That's where we're going to have to stop now, but that is some wonderful points that remind us that Jesus is coming again and there will be judgment. And we can believe that because God has raised him from the dead after he died for our sins. Now the question is, what will we do with the life God has given us today? Will we turn to him, or will we live life our own way? And the point is that there are many who fear of dying of coronavirus, of COVID-19, because thousands have died. But what is worse, to die of coronavirus or to die in our sins condemned before God? It's much worse, no matter what the physical cause, to die in our sins. It really doesn't matter the physical cause. If we die in our sins, separated from Christ, we have no hope of eternal life. But Jesus has died so that we might have eternal life, so that we might be forgiven of our sins, so that we don't have to die in our sins. That's why he died, to forgive us and to bring us to God by his grace, through his blood that has been shed. If you believe Jesus has died for your sins and was raised from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of God now, that he is equal with the Father and Son, that he is divine, that he is God as well as the Father and Son, then repent of your sins, turn to God, confess him as the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of your sins, that God will raise you up by his power, that you might serve him by his grace, raising you up out of the water of baptism, forgiving you of your sins, that is, through the blood of Jesus. And those of us who are already Christians, let us rejoice in serving him, and let us turn from our sins, repent and pray that he might forgive us of those things, that we might be able to grow in his grace and knowledge and be changed evermore into the image of his Son by the power of his word, that at his coming we may be found in him and we may be brought to eternal glory. We would encourage all, whoever we may be and wherever we may be, to obey the gospel while there is time given by a gracious and loving and powerful God. We encourage all to respond who may hear this at any time. The lesson is ours, and we look forward to another lesson, the Lord willing, but for now this lesson is ours for us to obey.